Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is iRadio's
Group Chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
With the new year just around the corner, a lot of us are thinking about fresh starts, whether that's finding motivation again, dealing with burnout, or finally taking the next step in our career. So I've brought in someone who knows exactly how to guide people through all of that. Angela Burke is a careers coach and motivation mentor, helping people get clarity, set realistic goals, and build careers that actually work for them, not just on paper, but in real life as well. Angela, thanks so much for coming back onto iRadio's Group Chat. This time of the year is when people typically can start questioning their job, maybe their purpose and their motivation. So I think this is the perfect time to get into it. We are at the end of the year and a lot of people are potentially feeling drained or burned out. How can someone tell the difference between burnout and simply needing a break?
So burnout is deeper. It's much deeper than just feeling tired and needing a break. It'll show up as, you know, that kind of constant fatigue, feeling a bit flat, very much that feeling of having absolutely nothing left in the tank for yourself or for anyone else. And I think what people maybe don't realise is actually it adjusts your mental state overall, and it actually affects your ability to show up in other areas of your life. So, you know, to be honest, by the time you've reached burnout, a short break isn't really going to resolve that, which is what some people often think.
And if someone is suffering from burnout, what should they do about it then?
So when you're suffering from burnout, you're typically feeling very overwhelmed as well. And doing anything to get yourself out of that space can actually feel like a massive deal. So start small, you know, start making small, manageable adjustments, you know, rather than trying to fix everything at once. So first up, definitely stop and look after yourself. Even better, seek the support of others that can look after you. So, you know, your GP if you need, family, friends, maybe a coach to help you get clarity on what's actually draining you, what's actually going on and causing the burnout. And then, you know, once you figure that out, you can then start moving yourself forward. But yeah, definitely kind of the stopping and, you know, getting support from those that you need.
When motivation is low around this time of the year, even if it's not specifically burnout, if people are just feeling really drained and in need of a break, you know, setting goals can feel impossible. But what in your eyes is a realistic way for people to kickstart that motivation again without putting too much pressure on themselves either?
I will share some tips, of course, but actually, you know what, rather than throwing a plaster over low motivation, I always think it's really important to figure out what's actually behind it. So what has dampened that fire in your belly? What is it you're lacking? What are you spending too much time on and not enough time on? So these are the kind of questions that I constantly get clients to answer, you know, to get some clarity as to what's actually happening for them, as opposed to just continuing to try and, you know, push against a brick wall. I did promise I would share some tips as well, so I'll share those. So I think rather than working off a long to-do list, you know, really breaking tasks into very small achievable steps that will actually start to create some momentum. Celebrating tiny wins, as that'll give you a little boost and, you know, reinforce your progress. And, you know, just doing something that you're naturally drawn to, because sometimes that's the one thing that you need to do just to get that little bit of kind of spark and motivation going again.
You know, it can sometimes occur in jobs like this that maybe you decide to change jobs, especially around the new year as well, kind of when you think that you have a bit of a fresh start. Obviously, it's very overwhelming as well. What's the first thing you recommend people to do when they're thinking about making changes in the career for the year ahead?
I love a good career audit, Valerie, and I think January is a great time for that. So, you know, take stock rather than jumping straight into a change. Figure out what actually needs to change given where you're at in life right now. So thinking about what matters most to you, what doesn't matter at all, what's working well and what's not working. And all of that will actually prevent you from making any kind of quick fix, you know, and instead steering you towards a change that will actually solve the problem rather than just ending up, you know, changing jobs, making a change in your career, but sitting in, you know, a pretty similar seat somewhere else. And, you know, make your life easier where you can, like rather than trying to do it all yourself, chat to others, chat to friends about what they do, get a feel for what their work looks like. You know, chat to someone like myself. And I just think having those kind of career conversations rather than us chatting about the weather forever, it can actually give us some clarity around, okay, what kind of jobs are out there? What kind of different work could I be doing?
One person has actually been in touch this evening that's looking for some advice. And she says, I'm in a bit of a crossroads with my career. I actually love my job. The team's great and I enjoy going in every day. But the money just isn't enough anymore. Between rent, bills and trying to have some kind of life, I'm barely breaking even. A few weeks ago, I worked up the courage to ask my boss for a pay rise. To be fair, they agreed I deserved one, but nothing has happened since. Now I'm wondering, is it time to look elsewhere? I don't want to resent a job I love, but I also can't live on passion alone. What should I do?
This is a very, very common dilemma that I'm hearing a lot of lately. So let's break it down. I think it's great that they've had the conversation with their boss because so many people just up and leave rather than actually asking, you know, for what they want. This person says that nothing has happened since. So that, I would presume, means that maybe the boss hasn't come forward with the pay rise, but have they actually followed up with their boss? That's the question I would be asking. You know, we forget that actually managers could be managing anything from a few people up to hundreds. And with that, you can imagine they're juggling several requests. So I would probably suggest arranging another meeting with your boss, but this time take the emotion out of it and give them the data that they need to actually get you the raise. You might be wondering what that data is. So for example, you know, research showing what your role is being paid outside of the organization, and therefore you can show the difference in what you're paid currently. You could also share some clear evidence of the value that you bring that would be lost if you leave. And also maybe looking at the list of, you know, the responsibilities that you're doing today versus what you were doing when you started, because that will show how, you know, the role has grown, and including your achievements as well. So basically you want to show progression from where the role was initially, and giving your manager all of this, you're essentially building a business case for your manager to then probably go to their manager to actually try and get you the raise. And I think that's the best way. It sounds like this person enjoys their job, so at least this way, you know, they're trying their best before jumping ship.
I would agree with you. It's always good to follow up yourself on these type of things. And even if, you know, they haven't got back to you yet for a reason, at least you will find out what that reason is and you can be proactive about it. But obviously, not everybody wants a full career overhaul. Sometimes people just want to enjoy their current job a bit more. What are the simplest of things you can do to improve your work life without changing jobs?
I could talk about this all day, Valerie. So we all have, a lot of people don't realize this, but we all have natural motivators, yet we're not actually sure of what they are. So if you can look at the work that you're doing and figure out what are your energy gains and your energy drains, then you can actually structure your day with those in mind so that you're more in control of your day, but you're more in control of your satisfaction level. And that's such an easy win to get more joy out of your working day. Do more of the work that you enjoy. And actually, habit stacking. So if there's a task that you've identified as one of your energy drains, habit stack a task that is something you enjoy. So one of your energy drains onto that task you don't enjoy, and it actually makes it a little bit more pleasant. I would also suggest that people put a career plan in place for themselves, because without one, it is so hard to get up on these Monday mornings, especially these dark Monday mornings. And you know what? You just don't know why you're doing what you're doing. You don't know where it's all leading to and what you're getting out of it. And lastly, people. People are so important. So if you can find your people in work and build stronger relationships with them, even if it's just one person that you know fully has your back, that will add so much satisfaction to your job.
It's so good when you go into things like habit stacking. I never even would have thought of that, but yeah. It's such a good tip, actually. Yeah, kind of putting something that maybe you don't like that much with something that you do like back to back.
You can use it for so many aspects of your life.
It's not even just work. I feel like I'm going to just add that to my life in general. But around this time of the year, look, it's full of new year, new me out there on socials at the minute. How, in your job, do you encourage people to set goals that are realistic and sustainable for them instead of competing with others or being perfection focused?
I'm so glad you've asked this. So my approach to goal setting is a little bit different. So rather than starting with what you want to achieve, start with the feeling. So think about it. Like, why do we work out? We work out because we want to feel a certain way in our body and in our mind. So regardless of whether the goal is to lose weight, gain weight, and become fitter, stronger, like, you do it to feel a certain way. So if you can get clear on how you want to feel, the feelings that you're chasing, then you can set the right goal that will actually evoke those feelings. And along the way, you'll know quicker if you're, you know, on track or off track, because if you're on track, you should start to feel that way as you progress towards the goal. And if you don't, then at least you can cut your losses quicker or adapt, as opposed to putting so much time and effort into chasing that, you know, tangible goal only to achieve it and then realize actually it doesn't make you the way you want to feel at all.
Finally, what is one mindset shift you think could make the biggest difference to somebody's career in 2026? One thing they can actually start doing after hearing this interview this evening?
Remove the limits. I think if we all remove the limits that we've placed on ourselves and just see what happens, that is where the gold is. And I think it is the most simple thing to do, but also the most difficult thing to do, because we have navigated our life and our career with such limits. But yeah, take those limits off yourself and just see where you go.
And in 2026, we shall see where we go indeed. Angela, thank you so much for joining us over this Christmas week. I really do appreciate it. Wishing you a very happy new year yourself and looking forward to catching up with you in 2026 on iRadio's group chat.
And to you, happy Christmas.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.